Now, camping season is in full swing, but camping, maybe on its face, is not appealing to everyone. After all, why would you want to leave the air-conditioned comfort of your own home to sweat it out in the woods with the ticks and mosquitoes? Of course, I'm playing devil's advocate there. But camping skeptics, this segment is for you. Our next guest says, though it may seem a little miserable on the surface because you're away from some of your home comforts, anyone can enjoy camping with the right tools and, of course, the right attitude. And we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Camping veterans, what would you say to convince those who maybe are on the fence about camping to try it out? Are you a former indoorsy person who's transformed into an outdoorsy person? And what made you change? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Blair Braverman is a columnist and contributing editor for Outside Magazine and the author of books including Welcome to the GD Ice Cube. Blair, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Blair, a little bit of background for some of the listeners out there that might not be familiar with you. It's basically your job to be outdoorsy. You live in northern Wisconsin and you've done the Iditarod. You have a dog sled team. But you had to start somewhere. It wasn't like you were just out in the woods naturally. Can you tell us about getting over some of your earlier fears or anxieties about getting outside?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've had so many anxieties about getting outside. So this is a great question, because I think people would, you know, meet me, and my husband and I are dog sledders, and we live north of Green Bay, and we're always, you know, we've gotten to do cool things, like we were both on Naked and Afraid. So we've done these like very intense outdoorsy things, and people assume it always, you know, was completely natural, and that is not the case. I grew up in Northern California, and I always, you know, went to summer camp and went camping with my family. But I tend to think of myself actually as a fairly fearful person. I am not fearless, like many people would assume. And so I was always drawn to the outdoors, but also sort of intimidated by them, especially I have a sled dog next to me who's getting really excited. So if you hear those sounds, it just is adding to the ambiance.
You would expect nothing less. It's the dogs can be there for sure.
This is just the full immersive experience. Yeah, you know, I was so nervous, especially when I was first getting outdoors a lot alone. I was a young woman, and that felt very vulnerable to be by myself in the woods. And I actually think I can trace a real turning point to when I was 18 and I spent my first night alone in the wilderness. That was a big goal that I wanted to take, and I'd never done it before. And I went out. I was living in northern Norway at the time where I went to school, and, you know, packed just some stuff in my bag, not much, and walked into the woods and rolled out a sleeping bag and lay down and practically hyperventilated for the next 4 hours, and then stumbled home in the dark at 2 in the morning and felt like a big failure. And then, you know, slept happily in a bed for the next few months, and a couple months later decided to try it again. And I did the same thing. I loaded everything up, but I knew a little bit more about what to expect. And I think I had a lot more forgiveness for myself because I knew I might end up coming home in the middle of the night. I had sort of come to terms with that. And then I stayed out completely alone in the woods for actually 3 days that next time, and just sort of like pushed through that fear. And I often think that, you know, sleeping alone in the woods was, if not the turning point, then a turning point for me, because it just, I tend to think that's one of the most empowering things people can do if they want to be outdoorsy. Like if I'm hiking and it is starting to get dark, you know, I just know like if I have to lie down under a tree, I can do that. I'm not afraid of darkness, especially with mushing. You know, I'm usually outside. I'll mush through the night if it's colder at night, because the dogs like the cold weather. That made a huge difference for me. So I'm always recommending people do that if they want to, but you also totally don't have to. And you can also go home at 2 in the morning, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, this is a no judgments zone, especially as it comes to camping. We're talking to Blair Braverman right now. She's a columnist and contributing editor for Outside Magazine. She's also a big outdoorsy person. She has she's part of Braver Mountain and has participated in Iditarod. Now, you're talking about some of your experiences camping, being alone, for people who might not be quite ready for that. So these are people who might be testing the waters for the first time. You know,
absolutely.
When they ask you about camping, they don't want advice about camping necessarily. They want the why they should go camping. You know, what do you tell them?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people sort of get the gist of camping. Like they know, you know, you can pitch a tent and you can put a sleeping bag inside it. And maybe they did that in the backyard growing up or they went to scout camp. But why would you do that? Like if you have a bed, there's a reason that we have invented beds and plumbing and air conditioning, you know, and screen doors so the bugs don't get inside. And I think when people pretend like, oh, camping's totally comfortable, like, I think that actually does it a disservice because that's blatantly not true. There's many ways that camping is less comfortable than being in your home, which is designed for your creature comforts. But the thing is, it's sort of worth it. Like if you embrace those things, there's other things that camping allows you to do. It's actually, you know, one of the best ways to have a very different experience from your everyday life, something that's going to let you step out of your routine, step out of, you know, the patterns that you're caught in. And it's relatively accessible. You don't need fancy gear. You don't need to go far away from home necessarily. You know, you really can pitch a tent in the backyard. And you can just sort of give your mind a break. You can be with the people you love. You can be in an environment that's full of, you know, life and beauty and that doesn't care about you. And you can just sort of exist. And, you know, for me, that's beautiful in its own sake, for its own sake. And it also just gives me, you know, that boost when I come back to my everyday life that I've had a chance to step out of it.
I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Artie, who is on their way, or they're in Door County right now, but they are from, it looks like, Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Artie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, what did you want to say?
I just want to say, for me, I've been crossing the country numerous summers, and it's to keep it simple. And you have a good pad. And you don't need, like she said, you don't need all the extra equipment. For example, I just stopped at the sandwich shop. I just basically had an early dinner. And so I don't even have my stove with me or anything. But I'm headed out to Door County. I'm going to find a campsite tonight, sleep in the rain, all covered in comfort, and listen to the rain hit the tent and be cozy in my I'm so excited about it. And I literally have my tent, my pad, and my sleeping bag. And I'm ready to go.
Artie, thank you so much for that call. So even Artie here is saying, hey, I'm expecting rain tonight. I don't have my camping stove and I am thrilled. Do you find that people who maybe after a while that they go camping, that they feel really similarly, that they can take on whatever the world throws their way when they go camping?
I think so. And Artie, this sounds like a lot of fun. I hope you have a great night out there. Yeah, I mean, I think that part of the reason that camping feels so daunting is because there's so much like different gear and it's expensive. And, you know, do you get this kind of sleeping pad or that kind or this kind of tent? And like, do you go ultralight or do you not? And it's just, I think that as people have been camping more and more, they realize how little of that is really necessary. And that alone is freeing because we love, you know, Americans, we love professionalizing things. We love sort of getting fancier and fancier. This is the right equipment. This is the right way to do things. But you can buy takeout at your favorite place and bring it out to your campsite. And if you're not confident building a fire, just bring like a Duralog and just stick a match on it in the campsite. Like, but get the kind you can roast food over if you're going to make s'mores. You know, don't poison yourself. You know, you can wear the clothes you already have. It just doesn't have to be that fancy. And you don't have to go far and you don't have to go for a long time. You can just sort of, you know, ask your friends if they have equipment you can borrow if you don't have any. It doesn't have to be expensive. And if there's a particular part of camping that you find daunting, just skip that part. You know, you don't have to cook while you're out there. If you don't like, you know, going to the bathroom in the woods, go to a campsite and, you know, get a site right next to the toilet where there's going to be a toilet and showers. this, you know, the point of camping is to be right for you. You don't have to sort of do this idealized version. You just have to do what's right for you.
Right now, we continue our talk with Outside Magazine writer Blair Braverman about how to give camping a try if you're totally new to it or if maybe you're on the fence. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. You can call in with your tips and tricks as it comes to camping or maybe what got you camping in the first place. Again, the number is 800-642-1234. Or you can go to the Ideas Network Facebook page. And I want to take one of our callers. We have Anne, who is currently driving through Superior right now. Hi, Anne.
Hello. I hope I don't get a ticket.
Well, I hope you don't either. What did you want to call in to talk about?
Well, I'm on my way to the Boundary Waters with my husband and my adult son. And I just want to say to anyone who's skeptical about camping, to, like, you guys get great advice. Join a Facebook group, get on YouTube and watch tips for campers and just be prepared and give it a try. It's a really fun thing to do with your kids and to build, you know, lasting memories and great relationships.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Anne. And so, you know, she's heading up to the Boundary Waters with her family and, you know, is going, hopefully maybe kayaking, going on the water. You know, what do you say to people who might be camping with their families? It seemed like you camped with your family when you were living in Northern California.
I did. And, you know, it's very funny because my dad is very much a New Yorker. He is not. I think it's fair to say that he did not grow up outdoorsy at all, but he is game for things. And my mom, you know, grew up in the woods. She loves the woods. So we'd go camping and my dad would sort of be sitting there smiling, just sort of looking around at everything very foreign to him. And my mom would be, you know, identifying 20 different plants. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter that we came in with different experiences or that I was a literal child who had no skills or contributions to the mechanisms of camping. You know, those are some of my best memories because you're just, it's really quality time. It's a chance to be with the people you care about. And there's something in the time when you're outdoors and you're, you know, if not away from your phones, then you're using your phones less. You know, the amount of sort of quality time and meaningful time that you can fit and the amount of bonding and the amount of memories just compresses and it becomes such rich time, even if you don't feel like you're doing much. You know, so as a kid, just being able to be in that situation with my parents, you know, who had very different levels of mm-hmm. outdoor experience, it was incredibly meaningful. You know, it set me on the track that I am now in life. And I think, you know, it also just gave me permission. I could see, like, look, you don't have to be perfect at this. You just have to have fun.
Yeah, that sounds really great. Getting kids involved early in many ways. And in that vein, I want to go to Ashley, who's calling from Merrimack. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. Thank you so much for having the program, first of all. This is great. My husband and I are avid backpackers and campers, and we've taken our family car camping in the past, and we're taking our first backpacking trip this weekend with our kids. I have a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old, and I'm just looking for any tips for the 5-year-old. You know, it's a 2-mile hike in, and I'm a little worried about it, but I think we'll be fine. But any help or any tips would be great.
Thank you so much for that call, Ashley. So, Blair, we have Ashley, who's taking her kids out. She sounds like a pro. She's done this before, but they're going hiking. They're going backpacking versus maybe car camping, where you pull up into a campsite and you unload everything and you just kind of are there. So she mentioned that there's a 2-mile hike. What do you say? What should she keep in mind with her family when they go out?
This sounds so much fun. And I do want to be careful with my answer because I'm not a parent, but I have been a child. So I'll try to think on that. I don't want to, you know, pretend I have great parenting experience when many listeners have actual parenting experience, unlike me. You know, I think the most important thing with kids, and I actually taught kids naturalist classes for a while where we got kids excited about nature. And you know, the most important thing is being hands-on and sort of giving them skills to feel like they're doing it too. They're not just along for the ride. Like, even if it's like, hey, find some cool rocks here, or, you know, can you stack these sticks for building a fire? You know, kids are hungry for information and they love to be involved. And they also, you know, have very limited energy and get hungry quickly and thirsty and have sort of physical needs that they're not very good at ignoring. And many adults have the same situation, but we sort of pretend we don't get really crouchy when we're hungry or tired or thirsty. You know, so kids are a great way to practice, like, just making sure you're not pushing too hard, that you're always keeping it fun. Don't try to push through a wall. Just stop and take a break and have a snack and, you know, point out some bugs, bring some games or create some games. Just sort of let them be creative rather than goal-oriented.
Ashley, thank you so much for that call, and good luck with your family as you head out into the woods. It does sound like a lot of fun. I want to go to another caller right now. We have Russ in Pleasant Springs. Hi, Russ.
Hi. Tent camper. It is a very inexpensive family outing once you have your tent and some basic equipment, a couple of coolers, some metal utensils, dishes, maybe a Coleman three burner stove and a portable barbecue. And oftentimes, if you reserve ahead of time, you can get a campsite right on or close to the shoreline and get the water breeze. And it is a wonderful, inexpensive family outing. And one thing I recommend that no camper does who's a tent camper, is you don't want to keep food either inside the tent or outside the tent in the coolers. Keep them inside your vehicle because the raccoons will find everything. They have hands with thumbs just like we do, and they will learn how to twist the locks on coolers and get inside.
Russ, thank you so much both for your call and those tips. It's certainly words to live by. You want to avoid any sort of raccoon fight on your hands as you're just trying to relax outside. And that brings us to a point that I'd actually wanted to ask you about, which is you are in nature. There are animals around. If you light a fire, you could, you know, potentially cause an accident. How do we make sure that campers are good stewards of their environment when they go out?
Yes, absolutely. And Russ, it sounds like you learned that lesson the hard way. So I'm imagining all sorts of hilarious and I'm sure very frustrating in the moment scenarios. You know, it's funny because I grew up being outdoors in California where the fire hazard is so high that we almost never had fires at all. But you know, the most important thing is you want to leave nature the way you found it. So, you know, you can think of the mantra, take only photographs, leave only footprints. You're there to have fun. You're not there to sort of collect a lot of things that leave nature depleted for the next person. You know, you can admire wildflowers without picking them. Just pick up your trash and think about if you're around other people, if you know, you're in a campground and there's other campers nearby, you don't want to be playing loud music that they're listening to, whether they like it or not. Just sort of basic etiquette where you're thinking about the other people who are sharing those woods and the animals. And, you know, I think basic manners, and a lot of people are pretty instinctive about this, go a long way. And especially if your campground has a fire ring or something, you know, build your fire inside the ring. And if you're really unsure about how to do things, find a friend who has been camping before and, you know, tell them you got their food covered for the weekend. And I'm sure they would be happy to share some of their expertise.
Speaking of friends that got other people into camping, I have been, I used to camp as a kid and then became notoriously indoorsy. And I want to give a shout out to our technical director, Sarah Hopeful, who actually got me back into camping as a 30-something year old. And it's been a lot of fun.
How did she do it?
She said, take my gear and go. And that's basically what I did. And it was a lot of fun. And we camped a lot last summer. And I actually really do appreciate it. We have about 30 seconds left. Thanks for indulging that. But do you have any final piece of advice for people who might head out to camp?
Yes. Just my final advice is you don't have to do things right. You don't have to stick to your plan. Once you're out there, do what is fun and what feels good. And if you plan to hike, but you want to just sit by the fire, that's fine. And if you end up just, you know, going to a restaurant and coming back later, like, that's fine. There's no ideal version of camping as long as you're not damaging things. Just have fun and don't let anyone tell you that you're not tough enough or you're not doing things intensely enough. The point is that you do you and you have a great time.
Blair, thank you so much for joining us. That was a lot of fun. Blair Braverman is an author and outdoor enthusiast, and she was with us to talk about camping.